That's right. Morning Drive 2-a-days continue here on ESPN 102.5 The Game as we are in the AFC West, one division to go until we get to the AFC South. And here to talk about the Denver Broncos, Brandon Cristall from KOA News Radio in Denver. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Doing excellent. When I look at this Denver Broncos team, because it's funny, you look in the AFC West and the Chargers are everybody's, you know, sexy pick to win the division and maybe make a deep push in the playoffs. We see Gruden in Oakland. We see the new quarterback in Kansas City. But I look at Denver, and I think that roster is pretty darn good. If Case Keenum can be 80% of what he was last year in Minnesota, I think Denver can make some noise. Is that the feeling around Bronco country?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, although they're paying him $18 million a year, so they'd like him to be at least 100% of what he was last year, which was 22 touchdowns and 7 picks. And I think, honestly, they'd like him to be closer to 30 touchdowns and 10, 12 picks. And Case said something interesting a couple weeks ago when he was doing his weekly press conference. You know, they've trot the quarterback out once a week and Von Miller, and they kind of just rotate guys and everybody goes every 7 to 10 days until you start getting into games. And he said he wants every single drive to end in a kick. And I couldn't believe that I had never heard that, and maybe I have, but it hadn't stuck with me. So obviously he wants it to end in an extra point, a field goal, or even a punt. And now that they've added Marquette King from the Raiders, who was kicking the crap out of the ball here at Mile High the other night, ending with a punt isn't the worst thing in the world because the guy's averaging almost 50 yards a punt. And so to end every drive in a kick and think of that as your philosophy and just never turn the ball over, not that they were trying to turn the ball over last year, but other than the Browns, they were the second worst turnover team in the league, and it put the defense, which is still really talented, in a big hole. So if Case can be close to what he was last year, if not better, then the Broncos could be knocking on the door in the AFC West, and even if the Chargers are everyone's favorite pick, they could sneak right past them, I think, without that much surprise to those who follow the division closely.
Now, the Denver Broncos, over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, they've had a really stout defense, obviously led by Von Miller. But in recent years, they've lost certain players, most notably this past season, Tlaib. They cut Tlaib, I believe, at the end of the season or somewhere around there. How do they replace him? Is, you know, Bradley Roby and Chris Harris, I know Chris Harris Jr. is a pretty, really good corner, but can Bradley Roby replace what Tlaib brought to that defense?
I mean, they certainly think that he can. He's a first-round pick, but Tlaib's knocking on Hall of Fame kind of numbers with the number of return touchdowns that he has. He's just a couple behind Rod Woodson for that all-time mark. And so he's a guy that could be wearing a gold jacket now that he's gone to 4 straight Pro Bowls here in Denver. So they trade him to the Rams, and they hope Roby in his fifth year, so they're paying him $9 million on his rookie deal, hoping that it was worth the investment and that that'll lead to a 5-year deal, and maybe it's Malcolm Butler kind of money, maybe it's a little less, depending on if they can get him to sign a deal early. But he's played, 65 to 70% of the snaps pretty much since his rookie year, but definitely from year two on. And now he'll obviously be out there for whatever, 100% or close to it. Maybe they take him out in goal line as one of the top corners. So, yeah, he has Chris Harris on the other side. And I think Roby will be fine because he has been before. I think the bigger issue is what do they do in that third and fourth corner spot? They've got a couple of rookies, and they added Tremaine Brock, who came up from Minnesota. But Tremaine Brock barely played for the Vikings last year between being a little nicked up and having some off-the-field issues that were resolved. It just kept him off the field in Minnesota. A couple of years ago when he was playing with the Niners, though, he was considered maybe next to Chris Harris Jr. the best slot corner in football. At least that's what Von Miller said, and I'll take him at his word. He said that to us a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's maybe the biggest question mark of any of the position groups in terms of quality depth. You know, the Broncos don't have their running back situation sorted out because they have 5 kids who can really all play, and their 5th and 6th wide receiver is a big-time competition. O-line is trying to develop new chemistry with some new pieces. But I think corner depth is the biggest area of concern for me if I'm the Broncos. But to your point about the defense, they still have Von Miller. They have Derek Wolfe. They have those linebackers in the middle. Justin Simmons is probably going to be in the Pro Bowl conversation at safety. They still have Darian Stewart, part of that no-fly zone. So if Case can do what he's supposed to do and just keep him in games or give him a lead, then that defense can pin its ears back. And by the way, they added Bradley Chubb, the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, this is an interesting division to me. I can't really get my head around it. The Chargers always do Chargers things, but they feel like they're the best team on paper. Oakland could bounce back because you like some of the talent there, but they're having this weird thing with Khalil Mack and John Gruden. And of course, the Chiefs look like the most talented, but are breaking in a brand-new quarterback. So are the Broncos closer to 5-11 and fourth in the division, or are they closer to, hey, this whole thing could be between 8-8, 9-7, and they're in that mix?
It feels like they're closer to that, only because when you look at the margin for error in the NFL, and Derek, you can speak to this, but we had Howard Balzer on because we're on this push to get Pat Bowlen into the Hall of Fame, and he's one of the Hall of Fame voters on the Contributors Committee. And he brought up something that I definitely agreed with and probably am going to steal and quit giving him credit for. But he said basically every team in the NFL, save for a couple at the top and a couple at the bottom, are 8-8. And then it becomes a question of during the season, can you get from 8-8 to 9-10 wins and be in the playoff conversation? Or do you fall back like the Broncos did last year? They were 9-7 the year before, and they slipped to 5-11 because things just don't go your way. And I think that I'd agree with that, especially when you look at the parity in this league, the trend that quarterbacks are finally developing. You know, right, we have 330 million people in America, and I'm always curious why we can't find 32 good quarterbacks. But but it feels like we're trending up if these young kids can come into their own, and Jared Goff can keep doing what he's doing, and Andrew Luck's back healthy. So if I were going to Vegas, or where else can you bet legally right now? Delaware, Jersey, can you bet legally in Mississippi?
It's changing by the day.
Right. If I could go anywhere and bet, I would take the over on the 7 wins, or even 7.5, because obviously you can't get a half a win. But I'd take the over if I'm the Broncos. Do I think they're a 12, 13, 14-win team? No, not right now. But are they in that 8, 9, 10, and maybe if the ball bounces your way, could you get to 11 and easily win the division? Probably so. And so that's the way I'd lean. But it's all predicated on what the offense does. They turned the ball over so much last year that it just put the defense in such a bad spot. They were top five in run defense and in pass defense, but terrible in points allowed because they kept giving the other team the ball. The offense did, and the special teams. They had 5 muffed punts with this kid Isaiah McKenzie, who looks to be a little more sure-handed this year and had a 78-yard return in the opening preseason game. But it was putting that defense behind the eight ball that their points allowed was – you know, in the bottom third easily because they were already in the minus territory almost every time they took the field.
Well, Brandon, I did take the over of 7 wins for the Broncos this year, so if you need a few outlets, I can certainly point you in the right direction.
I appreciate that. We're just waiting for – it can't get on the ballot here in Colorado because of when the legislature meets until the end of this fall, so we can't place bets till next football season just based on logistics here. But at least it's nice to have more options if you're so inclined.
Yeah. Let me get your thoughts on the number one headline right now on ESPN.com. It's the top line. John Elway says that Colin Kaepernick had a chance to be a Denver Bronco, and he passed. What can you add to the story? What do you know about that story?
Well, it's funny because whenever you get Colin Kaepernick questions, it's not that it's something that you don't think about, but if it's not the story you're writing or if it's not at the front of mind, when it comes out, you're like, oh, okay, that's a good question. Nikki Jabal, who's a really good writer here for The Athletic and worked for the Denver Post for a long time, she threw it out there at John, and John, who's a little salty kind of yesterday all the way through, and maybe it's because he's coming to the realization that Paxton Lynch is, I think he's already come to this realization, but number one pick that is not going to be part of this football team much longer. So he's already kind of on edge, even if he is excited about Chad Kelly and Case Keenum, because it's an obvious failure in his selection of a quarterback. So the whole tone of the press conference was a little weird anyway, and then that gets thrown in there. And he certainly, I don't think, was caught off guard by the question or having an answer ready. And that's kind of what John does a lot of the time, is he has kind of stock ideas in his mind. And he is right. I mean, they negotiated a deal. I think they had Colin out here twice, including once at John's house, and wanted him to take the pay cut. They were going to make him the starter coming off the Super Bowl and Peyton retiring and losing Brock Osweiler, and they couldn't come together on the money between what the Niners were willing to pay, the pay cut Kaepernick was going to have to take, and then what the Broncos were willing to pay, and I think that number was around 7, and he was owed 11 or 12. So John has just moved on, and it depends on where you're sitting. Some people think that he sounds like a hypocrite because he was toe-to-toe with Brock Osweiler or Jimmy Sexton, specifically Brock's agent, and then Brock chose the Texans, and John, who had known Brock since he was roommates with his son at Arizona State and drafted him the same year they signed Peyton Manning in a draft that also had guys like Kirk Cousins and Nick Foles and Russell Wilson, including, of course, at the top, Luck and RG3. And so John felt spurned by Brock, and I think it was obvious and disappointed that Brock chose to go to Houston for $7-8 million more instead of staying in Denver off a Super Bowl winner. But then Brock was allowed back last year for the league minimum. So some people say it's a totally different deal and everybody's different. But the way John answered that question, it made it sound like, look, you had a chance to be here and you chose not to take it. Well, okay, what if Colin wanted to be there again now, just like Brock showed up and said, hey, I'll play for the league minimum and I just want to come compete to be a backup, not even the starter. It just depends on how you want to look into the semantics of all of it or the way John said it. But it at least clears the Broncos, probably, like he mentioned in his deposition. They offered him a job, which is more than a lot of other teams did, and so they may still be able to prove collusion across the league, but the Broncos feel like they're cleared in the matter.
Brandon, good stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Say hi to Wesley Woodyard for me.
You got it. Brandon Kristol, KOA News Radio in Denver.
He brings up an interesting name because Woodyard not practicing. If he doesn't practice again, then we know it's not maintenance, right? Then we know he might be hurt. So we'll have to keep an eye on Wesley Woodyard. He's a critical member of that team, especially with Rashawn Evans not practicing right now.
Coming up next, it is time for On Tap Tonight. Stay there. It's Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D. Mason Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.